Joan Didion, the novelist and essayist, had her life turned completely upside down one night. Her husband of 40 years, the novelist John Gregory Dunne, suddenly died. They were sitting down to dinner one night after visiting their only child in the hospital. That child, their daughter Quintana, had fallen into a coma after treatment for pneumonia and septic shock. Then this past August, Quintana passed away as well. So within a year and a half, Joan Didion lost the two most important people in her life. And yet, in the midst of all that, she wrote a book about her horrible, disorienting losses. That book is called The Year of Magical Thinking, and it's now a bestseller and a nominee for the National Book Awards. The winners of those awards will be announced this week. Joan Didion, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you, Kurt.
How soon after those experiences did you decide, I'm going to spend X number of months writing about this?
What happened immediately after was, well, not immediately. It took Quintana about a month to get out, to become conscious and get out of the hospital. And then we had a funeral. And then a few days after the funeral, Quintana and her husband flew to Los Angeles. And she, because she was on a blood thinner, had a bleed into her brain and had to have immediate neurosurgery at UCLA. So I went out the next day and was there for 5 weeks with her and then brought her back here to the Rusk Institute. So I didn't have a thought in my head except Quintana. And in mid-July, I realized that I had promised to do the conventions. This was the summer of 2004.
Just a year ago.
Yeah. And then I was left with nothing at all to do. I was under contract, actually, to do a book about Kobe Bryant. But in the interim, John died, and Quintana was sick, and it became the last thing on my mind. And also, around the same time, I was realizing I had actually been slightly crazy for a period of some months. And then suddenly I found myself coming up with an idea about how to structure it, and then I realized that I could actually write a book.
Did you have a sense of, oh, I want to help others in something like my circumstance to cope?
I didn't consciously think that, but I thought it might be of interest to others because it's such a universal experience. And yet when I was looking for guidelines myself, I found so little that was helpful.
Well, you write about your attempt to look at what the experts and the shrinks have said. What was your impression of the take?
Well, a couple of anthropologists I read had written at length, Jeffrey Gorer and someone else, about the changes in attitudes toward death in the Western world since the beginning of the 20th century. But at some point after that, we medicalized death. We put it in the hospital, and around the same time, we stopped being able to look it in the eye. We stopped knowing what to do or say. You would be amazed the number of people who tell you to think of the wonderful times you had. This is apparently unaware that the past tense is a kind of downer to the person who had the wonderful times.
Well, and as the book for the reader, as the readers will discover, goes back and forth with you between you dealing with the here and now of your grief, of your, as you say, going a little crazy, and memories of your life with John and with Quintana as well. Did you set out thinking that it was going to be that kind of flashback memoir?
No, I did not have an intention of that at all. What became clear was that a good part of the experience for me had been trying to avoid thinking about the past, trying to avoid any physical location or person who might remind me of the past. And so it was necessary to mention the past in order to say what I was avoiding.
All those good times you were supposed to be thinking about.
Yes, exactly.
You say you went a little, you discovered or realized that you were going a little crazy, and you call the book The Year of Magical Thinking. Is that ironic, or do you really think you were engaged in magical thinking?
Magical thinking. It was in the sense that anthropologists use it. I mean, it was if I did such and such, if I if I invoked the right rituals, if I did the right thing with, at the funeral, he would come back. Now that's like saying that if you sacrifice the Virgin, the crops will come in. The other level on which it was magical thinking is, you know how children think magically? They think that
there's Santa, for instance.
There's Santa, and also if I hadn't been bad, Mother and Daddy would not be getting a divorce right now.
Right.
And so the magical thinking goes to the amount of guilt that, that almost everybody feels.
So it's self-punishing as
yes.
well as
yes.
superstitious. If I put his shoes here, he'll,
right.
he'll wear them again.
Yeah.
Over so much of your work over the last 40-odd years, there is a kind of exquisite sense of imminent disaster, menace, doom lurking around, hovering. And as I was reading this book, I had the sense that, okay, that has finally been realized.
That shoe dropped, yeah. Someone suggested to me that it would eventually perhaps be kind of liberating in that I wouldn't, the worst had happened.
This is as bad as it gets.
This is everything I was afraid of had happened. That might turn out to be true.
Did in the conventional sense of closure, I know an idea that you despise, did writing the book feel therapeutic?
Sometimes it did. Sometimes I would go over the pages at night and I would just sit there and cry. Not at the pages, but just because the material enabled me, made accessible to me a way that I'd felt about, that I hadn't allowed. So in that sense, yes.
You and John were each other's not only collaborators on films, certainly, but each other's first editors for 40-odd years. What was it like to write a book and not have him to show it to?
It was, actually, it made me mad. The first couple of things I wrote after he died, which were pieces, I felt desperately the need not to finish them because he wasn't there to read them. I would have no way of knowing whether it was time to turn them in or not. But then I kind of got past that. So that wasn't why I wanted him to read this. I wanted him to read it because it was something that happened that I wanted him to know about.
Joan Didion, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kurt.